Good afternoon. It is 2:15 p.m., April 17th, 2024. I'm Randy Christman, Chair of the Public Service Commission, joined by Commissioners Sherry Haugen Hoffert via electronics and Julie Fedorchek. And I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Haugen Hoffert, did you?
No, I do not.
Commissioner Fedorchek?
I don't have any opening comments.
Okay, this is a special meeting to address one agenda item that needs very prompt resolution, and it falls into your portfolio, I guess, regarding MISO the closest, even though it affects probably lots of other things. But I'll turn it over to you, Commissioner.
Okay, thank you. So I'll start with the motion and then go into all the background. So I move the commission delegate authority to John Hsu to intervene and file comments on behalf of the North Dakota Public Service Commission in Federal Energy Regulatory Commission docket number EL22-83-000.
Second.
Okay, so this is a docket that we're intervening in. We're proposing that we intervene in. We're working with a couple other states in the MISO region to join together to encourage FERC on a pretty technical planning element as it relates to their long-range transmission planning. So a year ago, we joined several other states encouraging MISO to include in their planning analysis this 800-mile interregional merchant HVDC line. So it's a line that's being built by some merchant transmission developers. That means that they're on their own. They're not affiliated with the utility. They're building a line, this 800-mile line. It starts in Kansas and goes all the way into Illinois and to the PJM territory. So it goes through SPP, MISO, and connects into PJM. And this, it's an 800-mile line. They're building it. It's called Greenbelt Express. It's an HVDC line, so it has really powerful capability to carry lots of power long distances with very little line losses. And what I like about the merchant whole methodology is that they get their own customers and they pay for it themselves. So the people who want the transmission are paying for it automatically, and it takes away one of the most complicated parts and controversial parts of transmission build-out, which is cost allocation. So they've got this line they've been working on. We told MISO and asked them a year ago, you should include this in your modeling for your long-range transmission planning because it definitely will impact the system. They didn't. And so now they've got their next big tranche of projects, their tranche two projects, and they're still resisting this, this including this project as a base case. And so what we're basically intervening in and asking FERC to require them to include this project in their base case modeling for their next build out of transmission projects. So that's kind of the seventh grade description of this. For a more detailed description, I'm going to ask Adam on our staff, who has really been following this very deeply and making sure that we're engaged in communicating with the other states and really coordinating our commission's efforts on this behalf. And so Adam can give you some of the other details on it and some more of the technical reasons. So Adam, why don't you do that?
Yeah, thank you. I thought that was a great description. So MISO is now developing their Tranche 2 portfolio. That's an approximately $20 billion transmission investment. As Commissioner Fedorchek mentioned, that this project is entirely paid for by those voluntary, through voluntary contracts. This project also has all the state siting approvals. It's got a signed transmission connection agreement, which means that they have customers in which they can actually have an interconnection with. and they've also secured most of the land control. The importance of having this in the base case and having MISO to consider it is that it, by placing this and considering it, it might obviate a need for some additional lines. So what we're asking them for is for them to acknowledge this in putting in what's called their base case and not an after-the-fact analysis of it. You know, HVDC is a new form of, it's not a new form, but there's not a whole lot of HVDC around. So let me see. So so they have all the states in it that are involved in it. They have all state siting completed with it. And I think I would maybe just leave it at that.
Okay, so that kind of, again, kind of summarizes. We think this project, this Grain Belt Express, is far enough along. It's very likely to be built. It should be considered in the modeling for MISO, and they've been resisting doing that. We think that so now we're taking the step of urging FERC to require them to do that, and if they do, it could, you know, we think it might affect the projects that are in being considered for this second build out of transmission in MISO, but at the very least, it's just a good planning protocol that MISO needs to start incorporating. The natural resistance for an organization like MISO would be to not necessarily want to include these merchant lines because their members are the utilities that would own the lines that are being considered being built in the next phase of build-out. And so those owners kind of like to own things and build them themselves because they get that helps their rate base and they can make earnings off of that. So they have a natural inclination to not want these merchant lines to be built. And on the opposite, we think that the merchant lines play an important role and should be encouraged because they're being driven by customers who want them and paid for by those customers. So that's the nut in a nutshell. It's a kind of a complicated technical matter, but it does require all of us to be on board to file with FERC, and it's just another step in the process of transmission development in our country.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I will just say that this is such a big project. I find it concerning that MISO would want to leave it out of the study. You know, if it was something kind of small and, you know, well, then maybe you overlook it. But this is huge. It could have significant impact on what all it turns out is needed in the Tranche 2 study. And so it seems to me, as I read it, you know, a lot of the rationale is, well, you know, we can't build this in because we don't know that it's going to get built. Which, when I first was reading about this, I was thinking, you know, that does have some merit. However, built into their study are assumptions like that production tax credits on wind farms will go on pretty much indefinitely, I think, for like a minimum of 40 years. That's never even really been discussed that I know of, and that's a built-in assumption. And I forget some of the others. So, you know, some of the assumptions that they are building are much less likely to happen, I think, than this line, which, as either Adam or you, Commissioner, mentioned, has the interconnection agreements, the siting approvals, and is a long ways with the rights of way. And so I just agree with this fully that they should be taking this into consideration.
Yeah, I that was very astute reading, that there's a lot of assumptions made on these models. And quite honestly, these projects aren't even expected to be in service for over a decade or longer. And so that's been my plea to my colleagues in the other states. Like, we're planning many, many years ahead, and a lot of things can change. All the more reason to factor in more on the front end, not less. Put this in there. And if other things change, which we know they will, we'll have to tweak the studies. So I think that it's the other main pushback from our colleagues in other states, because I am sort of disappointed that we haven't gotten more states to sign on. And we're still working on that. But we do have Montana and Mississippi, and we're still working on Iowa. But several of the other states are point out that there was some process deadline that they say, MISO says, that Grain Belt Express missed. But I've never really gotten to the bottom of that. And quite honestly, I don't really care. Because again, if it was like a 2-week deadline and we're talking about projects over 20 years time frame, like that seems like a ridiculous reason not to include an 800-mile line. That has the ability to carry 5,000 megawatts of power, just because they might have, and I don't even know what the deadline was or how far they missed it by a certain amount of time. Like that's just not reason enough in my mind to not consider it. And then others worry that, you know, we've got to you can't delay things any further. But again, there's stuff is being planned a long ways off, and the delay will be minimal in the grand scheme of things.
I have a question. You guys did a very good summary of this. You indicated that states have already sited this transmission line. Have they started building it, or what is the timeline for this 800-mile transmission line anticipated? Has anything identified?
Construction hasn't begun, but the filing indicates that construction is to begin in 2025. Versus these other lines, like, we don't even know tranche 2, or, you know, we just have a map right now on this latest tranche, and it might go in service in 15 years or, you know, 20 years, or who knows at that point.
So this line is further advanced than the Tranche 2 approval.
Right. The Tranche 2 approval, or the Tranche 2 portfolio, just came out about 2 months ago without any analysis or assessment or evaluation of whether a 345 kV portfolio would be provide more value or an HVDC portfolio. So it had very little stakeholder feedback inputted into it.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. With that, we will stand in recess and take some questions from the press.